Good morning. It's wonderful to see all of you. My opening this morning has evolved as the service has continued. It began at 9:30 when young Max stood up here and said his first opening prayer in front of the congregation. And I would not trade any of my children, all girls, for anyone, but, okay, maybe Ryan. But what a great feeling that has to be when you see your boy that you raised up from the crib to stand in front of you and pray to your God. It must be a really good feeling. I take a parental feeling toward you, Max, when you do that. It really touched me. And in speaking of things that touch me, it seems like there's always something that happens when I'm coming up here to speak before you that kind of looks like maybe the Spirit's working within us. This morning it wasn't because of what I'm speaking about, but I had said to my wife, when we were driving in here, that we sometimes we get together over the holiday season and we sing songs together is one of the things that we do. And I said, you know what, we need to grab those books because I absolutely need to sing a song this year that we don't have at home. And it was the Lord's Table song. That was the one. When he announced Exalted, I just was like, this is blowing me away. And additionally, I kind of mentioned this on Wednesday night, I am taking a medication that ironically makes you cough. And it's doing a really good job with me. And what it has done is cut into my sleep quite a bit. So I'm a little off this morning, and you laugh all you want. Because we know that I'm always a little off. But I had said to my father, I actually find it kind of comforting when I look out there and see maybe somebody's eyes are drifting off a little bit, because what that tells me is that my voice is comforting to them enough to make them want to fall asleep. Now, what is disturbing to me is the thought with my lack of sleep, that if I'm the one that falls asleep up here, it's not going to be good. How did I get here? In early November, we began a study of John. And, of course, it begins, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. We understand that, of course, to mean the Word. Jesus has always been a part of God, and since a time that we can't even compute as humans, we don't even understand that. He was, and he always has been. There is no beginning in heaven. Take a moment, for just a moment, think about that. Can your human mind really understand that? That's fascinating that there is no beginning and there is no end. If that isn't hard enough to grasp, I had another thought that prompted me then to have this lesson this morning. If I had to have a loose or folksy title about what I'm talking about today, it would be the question that no one is asking. I assume that I'm not the only one that contemplates these things at times, that some of the questions that I contemplate can't, or I don't understand, or they can't even be answered. But the thoughts and questions that haven't been asked will never be answered. So just in case you have wondered about what I'm going to talk about today, or just in case it might be something that was going to come up in your mind later on, or perhaps you even know somebody that believes what I'm going to talk about today, I'm going to answer the question then that you have not asked me. And it is this: did we exist prior to our birth? So the real title with three big question marks after it, pre-existence? The possibilities absolutely blew me away as I was in class. I'm not going to lie. I kind of drifted off for a moment thinking about this. You know, did I pre-exist? Where did I come from? Did I already know my wife, my parents, other family members? Does this mean that love at first sight or soulmates is a real thing? Was I destined to meet my wife 2 weeks before she met me and fall in love? Did I already know God? And then he magically made it so that I had all those memories wiped out. With no experience with this idea, I turned to the internet to study about it. The first thing I found was this. It was from a web page ran by a group, from a religious group that's different from ours, but well known. It made a case for our existence in heaven before we were born. It started well with several verses that lead to the conclusion. Just one moment here. I'm sorry. I couldn't find the mouse this morning, so I may be in trouble a couple of times. That lead us to the conclusion that I think we can agree with, and that is this, that Jesus had a pre-mortal existence. They mentioned the opening of John that we've already talked about, with Jesus being there in the beginning, the Word. And then they added this, John 17:5, where Jesus, praying, said, "And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." To those of us that are believers, this only confirms what we hold to be true, that Jesus was with God before and will be after God on this earth. He was, I told you I was going to be a little off this morning. Jesus was with God before and after he was with us on the earth. Okay, I liked that part. Next, they turn to Jeremiah, the first chapter. And verse 5 says this, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Additionally, they referred to Job in the 38th chapter, the 4th and the 7th verses. The Lord asks Job, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Apparently, this tells them that since God knew Jeremiah before he was formed, that he must have been with God in heaven. Also, even though God asks Job where he was when the earth was created, but then never does answer that question, the question alone must indicate that Job was with God. Last, they mentioned passages in 2 Peter, Jude, and Revelation that talk about one-third of the angels being expelled from heaven. Now, before you start squirming out there in your seats, or if you're listening home and about ready to turn it off, I'm about ready to refute all that. And I'm going to continue on with proof that will show the veracity of my opinions. So they say, in summary, that verses appear to indicate that Job and Jeremiah were examples of souls sent to earth after they were originally existing in heaven, and that there was a large group of angels expelled from heaven, proving that all of us existed in heaven. Perhaps that's a fairly sound argument with the seemingly logical conclusion that they would get from the information that I quoted. That is, until you scrutinize it just a little deeper. The first and easiest argument that I want to make this morning is that we are talking about at least three different beings here. Godly beings, heavenly beings, and earthly beings. The godly beings, God and Jesus, are the whole basis of our faith. And if we don't believe in the godly beings, then our religion is pointless. John chapter 1 tells us that the Word was with God and indeed was actually God himself. Of course Jesus existed in heaven before coming to live and die as a man. What Christian would argue against that? I'm going to get back to the other examples as they are appropriately covered later on in the rest of the lesson. But what does the Bible say about preexistence? Nothing. It says nothing about it because it's a man-made idea with no basis in truth. Every human is a unique creation of God. Genesis 2:7 says, "Then the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." Zechariah 12:1 says, "The word of the Lord concerning Israel, the Lord who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundation of the earth, and who forms the human spirit, within a person forms the human spirit within the person. Jeremiah 38 and 16 says, so Zedekiah the king swore secretly to Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord lives, who made our very souls, I will not put you to death, nor will I give you into the hand of these men who seek your life. Sorry about the laughter. I've been told about one of my nervous habits, and I just did it. Did you catch it? The Lord lives, who made our very souls. That's the point in that verse. In these three verses, we acknowledge that God, who formed man and breathed life into a living being, forms a human spirit in us and makes our souls. If we are three parts, body, soul, and spirit, how are we formed? Isaiah 44 and 24 says this, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, who formed you in the womb? I am the Lord, the maker of all things, who stretches out the heavens, who spreads out the earth by myself. How were we formed? Well, it was a miracle how we were formed. Who and where? Our Redeemer forms us in the womb. The psalmist in Psalm 139, 13 through 16 says this, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So verse 13, God knitted him. God knitted all of us while we're in our mother's womb. In verse 14, he knows that God made him well. In verse 15, he understands that even hidden in the womb, God was still able to see him. And in verse 16, he acknowledges that God knew how long he was going to live even before he was born. This is important because it not only says that God made us and did us wonderfully, it also says that God sees us before we were even born, even to the point of knowing how long we will live before we were even conceived. I think that's amazing. Pre-existence means one of three things. One, the soul has always existed. Two, the soul was created at a previous time and waited in corporeal until it could inhabit a body on the earth. Or three, the soul inhabited another body in the past and migrated to a current body. If the soul always existed, then humans are also God. Because if the soul always existed, it's uncreated. Obviously, that's contrary to what the Bible teaches, that there's only one God. Genesis 5:1 says, this is the written account of Adam's family line. When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. God created mankind in his image. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. That one seems pretty easy to understand. Malachi 2:10, do we not all have one Father? Did not one God create us? I think with those verses and others that we could find, we know that we must have been created. We're not God. We're just made in his image. What about us waiting in some heavenly nursery until we are sent to the earth? Well, then Genesis 2:7 is wrong. Remember, we read, the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Man became. That indicates a definite beginning where Adam's soul and body came to life at the same time. But there is no mention of God sending a soul from heaven to complete that creation. It only talks about God creating him. And the last one, if souls transfer from body to body, when was that soul created? And what's its purpose? I don't know. Each person will clearly answer for their own life is noted many times in the Bible. Hebrews 9:7 even says, "It is appointed for men to die once. After this comes judgment." Well, if that happened when we were transferring from body to body, which one of the soul's lives would be judged? One death, one judgment that applies to all of us. I would like to read to you what one commentator said about death. I have scriptures that were part of this listed and with it that I am not going to read. But if you would like them later, I will give them to you. But for now, I'm just going to read this little article. The Bible refers to death as a time when a person was gathered to his people. This indicates that at death, a person's soul leaves his body and joins those who have gone before him. Let me interrupt myself here for just a moment. The Lazarus that I'm about ready to talk about here is the Lazarus in the story in Luke, not the story about Lazarus being raised from the dead in John. So continuing, in Jesus' story of the rich man and Lazarus, the soul of Lazarus departed to the bosom of Abraham. The soul of the rich man was in torment. Neither of those souls re-inhabited another body, nor is there any indication that their souls had pre-existed. They each received the consequences of their life's choices. At the resurrection, we will be united with our original bodies in glorified form. If pre-existence in another body were possible, which body would that soul inhabit? The conclusion that I draw from all this is that earthly beings do not pre-exist in heaven. When God tells Jeremiah, in those examples that we had earlier, when God tells Jeremiah that he knew him and sanctified him before he was conceived, there wasn't a little Jeremiah spirit hanging around in heaven waiting to enter an earthly body. That's not who he's talking about. God created Jeremiah, and God knew who he would be. He knows everything. We have a really cool big word about that. He is omniscient. Regarding heavenly beings, perhaps you've heard of the one-third of the angels falling with Lucifer from heaven. Perhaps you've heard of that. Let me quickly sum up where that comes from. First, no verse specifically says a third of angels fell from heaven. But here's how we go through all this to put this all together. Satan was cast out of heaven. Isaiah 14 and 12 says, How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations. Morning star, son of dawn, in this particular case, is referring to Satan. In the book of Revelation, Satan is seen as a star that had fallen from the sky to earth. In Hebrews 22, it speaks about innumerable number of angels, so we know that there must be many heavenly beings. In Revelation 12, a red dragon's tail sweeps one-third of the stars out of the sky and flings them to the earth. Since Satan is referred to as a morning star, son of dawn, that was cast down to the earth, and that a third of the stars were cast down with him, it is assumed that the stars referred to heavenly angels. Interesting. I had never really contemplated that. Regardless, between stories of Satan, archangels, innumerable other angels, and other heavenly beings, there is no doubt that others besides God exist in heaven. Wait a second. Did I just fall into a trap? Did I just confirm that we pre-exist in heaven? No. These are heavenly beings. We are earthly beings. There's no indication whatsoever that the beings cast down from heaven came and lived amongst us in an earthly body. Are there angels among us? Do Satan and his minions try to interfere with our judgment of right or wrong? Doesn't it say that Satan was cast down to earth? None of these angels, fallen or not, are indicated to appear to us, in any way that is visible. I 100% believe that God, Jesus, the Spirit, angels, demons are present in our lives, just not necessarily in a human body. Wait a second. Angels come from heaven? Didn't I just say only God is outside of being created? Were angels actually God? No. Angels were created. Their purpose is to do the bidding of God. Colossians 1:16 says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." All things. When were they created? I don't know. They must have been created before the third day, though. At the beginning of this lesson, God asked Job, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast an understanding. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Remember, to those that believe that we pre-exist, this indicates that Job existed, that Job was somewhere. Indeed, it says that there were other heavenly beings with God. The morning stars and the sons of God both imply angels. When God asked Job where he was and asked him, "Tell me if I know, tell me if you know," means he wasn't there. Job had spoken as if God was cruel in chapter 16, and he argued that God was unfair in Job chapter 32. God was putting Job in his place here. Where was Job when God created the earth? Nowhere. Certainly not in heaven, lost and wondering what God might be up to that day. Did we pre-exist? No. No, we didn't. Jesus did. Remember John 17:5? "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Before the world began. Later, John speaks almost in a riddle, but gives clarification to show that John always was. And that's in John, the first chapter, in verse 30. "This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." Comes after me? Who's John's mom? Elizabeth. Luke 1:26 says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town of Galilee, where Gabriel eventually meets up with Mary." Jesus arrived after John on earth, but surpassed John because he was before John in heaven. If John pre-existed, what sense would his statement make? Jesus told Jewish authorities before Abraham, "I am." Just like God, Jesus is the great I am. God dwells outside of time. In Ephesians 1, the 4th and 5th verses, it says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will." He knew about us before we were even created. We're unique individuals with unique bodies and souls. And we will give an account of our unique lives and what we did with them, those lives that we were given. Romans 14:10 through 12. "You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, 'As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God.' So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God." Now, you haven't forgotten your previous life that you had with God. Thankfully, it's what even this beautiful place that we live at, how horrible it would have been if we could remember our home in heaven. But what you do have is an opportunity. That opportunity is to start your journey to the place of eternal rest. Revelation 22:12 says, "Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done." According to what they have done. What have you done? In our Wednesday night class, we had God and Ezekiel speaking to the children of Israel shortly before their destruction. And he is making comparisons to earthly things to show the way that he felt about things. And how he felt was crushed. He was sad. He did not purposely destroy the children of Israel. He wanted them all to be saved. But they rejected him. God was sad. He was their children. And they went off with somebody else. So what have you done? If you want to start your relationship, your true, obedient relationship with God, you need to start by obeying the commandment to be baptized and state your belief. If you're already on your journey but have become lost, you can always come back too. If there's anything we can help you with this morning, come forward while we stand.